This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. If you've been going through the Masjid Jame LRT station in the last 2 years, there's a good chance that you might have caught a glimpse of Arts on the Move KL, which is an initiative to stage various performances and installations at the LRT station every week. The program is by Think City, and the idea is to give thousands of commuters easy access to the arts. There's now a crowdfunding campaign to keep Arts on the Move going, and joining me today to tell us more are Think City's Program Director for Partnership, Lee Jia Ping, and Program Executive Tasnim Abdul Hadi. How are you both today?
We're great, thank you.
Thanks.
Maybe you can set it up for those of us who haven't been fortunate enough to catch an Arts on the Move performance. What is it exactly?
So Arts on the Move was created to activate downtown Kuala Lumpur, which is the old part with the heritage core, to see whether we could use the arts as a tool to bring people back into the city or to actually educate people about the arts. So it was twofold. One was to build an audience for the future, and one was to create sustainable income for some of our burgeoning talent, and they're amazing talents. So the Arts on the Move was not based on busking, but based on professional programming as per a theatre. So on one floor, you have the performance, and on the floor below, you would have the visual arts element. So you both have visual as well as performative arts going on in that one space.
In Masjid Jame LRT station itself?
Correct.
And how often were these performances? Was it actually every week?
So we started in 2016, once a week, and then 2017, we ramped it up to twice a week. And then 2018, we then pushed it down to once a week again. Because 2017, we had City Foundation funding, so we were able to actually get more funds from both Yayasan Hasanah as well as City Foundation. So we thought, you know, let's ramp it up and let's see what the response would be like.
It was interesting when you pointed out that it's not based on the busking concept, because automatically when you think of performances in public spaces, it tends to be the assumption that it's going to be a busker or a street performer.
Yeah.
So what is the key difference here? Is it a curatorial aspect?
So yes, the key aspect is that it is programmed. So the performances are handpicked. They are specially curated to look at diversity. So with busking, it's, you know, whoever applies for a busking license gets to busk. Whereas here, we handpick them. We also then look at performances that are world class, that have actually traveled overseas or are endangered. So we've had DK Bharat performances from Kelantan coming in via Pusaka, our partners. So we work with several arts practitioners as well. And we've worked with galleries such as Ilham Gallery to help program some of the content.
Why this particular location? Why Masjid Jame LRT station?
So Masjid Jame LRT station is the only station in that area that has a performance space big enough for dance as well as big band, you know, presentations. And it also has a 200-foot tunnel, which surprisingly, there was a free wall there that Prasarana could not use. And by the way, Prasarana is a valued partner in this whole program, because without them, you wouldn't have Arts on the Move. And they've been highly supportive of this program.
It's one of the most heavily transited public spaces or public transit stations in downtown Kuala Lumpur. So on average, 22 million people pass through that station every year. So at least like 9 million a month. So that's a lot of like foot traffic and a really great way to reach out to people via the arts.
And how do you program Arts on the Move? You know, how are the performances selected? What kind of performances do you aim for?
So we have someone who works closely with us. And she looks at programming. She's part of the arts fraternity, and she looks at programming each of the acts, both performance as well as visual, right? And she basically speaks to everyone. And I think the rest of the team also, when they go out and they see great performances, they will feedback and say, can you invite these people in? So we've been to No Black Tie. We've engaged with Evelyn Hee to talk about, you know, how can we bring these people into the like a street performance in that sense.
What kind of performances do you look for in terms of, we are talking about a space where it's a very diverse audience. It's also people, I would assume that it's also people on the move. Mm. So it has to be something that will catch their attention. So does that inform what you look for?
So we primarily look at musical performances, things that don't require a lot of like listening. So not theater performances and stuff like that. So dance, music, maybe guitars, maybe people singing. We've had like, for example, we worked together with Alliance Française during the French Festival, and they brought over like a marching band or something like that. So yeah, so that marching band was loud. You could hear it from everywhere. So things like you said, you know, that can attract people, get them to stop there for a little bit and listen.
And we've also made sure that one of the criteria was we would ensure that their sound quality was very good so that you don't basically devalue the performance. So we actually invested in our own music equipment because we found that it was cheaper than renting every week. And we got professional sound tech people to come and assist us every week. And so most of the money, besides paying the performers, also go into ensuring that the technical aspects from the design, the graphic design of layout of the visual tunnel, to actually ensuring that the mics are of, you know, high quality, those take up a lot of the funds as well.
And what about the visual arts aspect? What are some of the criteria in terms of what kinds of exhibitions would work in this space?
So one of the things that we've always looked at is there's a movement called Art and Education and Art and Performance or Art and Theatre and Education. And one of the things we've tried to connect is that we have a space called Ruang by Think City that's situated about 5 minutes walk from the station. And in that space, we welcome communities from all over the area to do programming. So as an example, one of the programs that we had, which was with WAO, Women's Aid Organization, they wanted to have the wall to send out messages against domestic violence.
Right.
And one of the things they said to us was, oh, we have posters of celebrities talking about standing out against domestic violence. So I said, well, you know, this is a visual arts wall. Could we do something that was visually stimulating, that was different from the don't do this, right? Let's create a new narrative. So what happened was we collaborated with Ali Hill, a graphic designer, who created a workshop with another artist that got the survivors of domestic abuse to basically use art as therapy. And they created this amazing plastic flowers out of recycled plastic bags.
Right.
And then what we did was we shot all the flowers and decorated the tunnel with the flowers together with the message and the launching of Tina, Think I Need Aid, their hotline.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead of a wall with, you know, I'm against this and I'm against that, it was all about hope. It was all about possibilities. So this is where we use the wall as a platform for outreach and advocacy.
What have been some of the performances that have been featured on Arts on the Move?
Well, for example, the band, the French band that I was telling you about, I think that was one of the first few ones that I watched that was really interesting. There was an opera by a local opera group the other day. That was also really nice, very interactive.
Mm-hmm.
We've had Geng Wat Long. I think they're one of my favorites personally because it's just so animated and their faces just like, you can just tell how much they love their music and how passionate they are about the music. And that was really like great for us because I'm not sure what other platform they would have been able to use to be able to showcase their work. And I think a lot of the people passing through had also never seen a theater performance. So 50% of the audience had never seen a theater performance. So seeing something so local, something so relatable to them, I think was quite profound. Yeah.
And what was great about Geng Wat Long is that they not just demonstrate Mak Yong, they also look at traditional Kelantanese instruments.
Right.
And so really it's about Malaysia and demonstrating that you know, beyond Malaysia Boleh is that, you know, we are actually very talented bunch of people. We have what it takes to be world class. Mm-hmm. And if we can just get beyond our differences to pull together and be the Malaysia we can be.
Very rich sort of like cultural heritage as well. And I think that's something that a lot of people tend to forget,
right?
Especially as like you rapidly develop and things like that. I think like one of the most interesting comments that we got about the show was that they were like saying, wow, like it's a world standard performance and these are Malaysians and they're super proud. So commuters who are Malaysian, they feel a sense of affinity and they're like, I'm so proud to see, you know, fellow Malaysians doing so well and performing so well. Yeah.
And another thing we have... Hadi Afro, I don't know whether you've heard of him, but he's quite an up-and-coming guitarist.
Yeah.
And since we've hired him to play, he's now solidly booked out, right? Not because of us, but, you know, because he's just very, very good. And he plays from classical Spanish guitar to jazz, right? So what we're doing is exposing people to different genres of music, hence the opera, you know, the three sopranos, sort of like a take from the three tenors.
Yeah.
And then we've also had Chinese opera, right? We've also had puppetry.
Indian dance.
Yes. Mm. And we've had the Japanese buto dancers come in. And we thought that, you know, when we had the buto dancers coming in, we were like, oh, I don't know how Malaysians are going to react to this, right? But they just loved it because it was mask and dance. And anything that does not have language does really, really well.
Sure, it translates well, right?
Absolutely, yes.
Is there an emphasis on Malaysian performing arts and Malaysian performances?
So about 80 to 90% are Malaysian because we really want to build the Malaysian talent. The dream of Think City is that one day we will have a big group of artists who don't have to have day jobs.
Oh, wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes. Mm. And all they do is just
create
their craft.
Art.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
And create
yeah.
art.
Make art.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we do need to take a break. But when we come back, I would love to hear more about why a crowdfunding campaign is necessary to keep Arts on the Move going. I'm speaking to Lee Jiaping and Tasnim Abdul Hadi from Think City about the Arts on the Move KL initiative, which has been staging performances and art installations at the Masjid Jamik LRT station every week for the last 2 years. They're currently running a crowdfunding campaign to keep it going. We'll be back after a short break. You're listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Welcome back. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Sharmila Ganesan. I'm speaking to Lee Jiaping, Think City's Program Director for Partnership, and Program Executive Tasnim Abdul Hadi. Think City is currently running a crowdfunding campaign for their Arts on the Move KL initiative, where performances are being staged every week at the Masjid Jamik LRT station for about the last 2 years. Before the break, we spoke a bit about the kinds of performances that you've been bringing to the public, and why this was important in the first place. Why is a crowdfunding campaign happening now? In the sense, how has it been funded before, and why has this been launched now?
So previously, up until recently, Arts on the Move was funded by a principal funder, Yayasan Hasana, as well as City Foundation. So we've been super lucky, super grateful having them on board, but obviously they have different areas of priority that need to be, you know, funded now. And we are obviously... To sustain this program, we need to start looking at diversifying our sources of funding. Mm-hmm. So Jiaping and I were like, oh, what can we do? And we're like, hey, you know, let's try a crowdfunding campaign. And it was just... One of the things that we wanted to do was we wanted to get people involved in having arts in the city. We wanted to give people a sense of this is a contribution that you can make to continue having, you know, to continue bringing the arts to the masses, to continue bringing the arts to the public. So for us, really, the crowdfunding campaign was to supplement. So we are still fundraising in other ways, but the crowdfunding campaign is meant to supplement any kind of funding that we receive.
It's also you know, a message to Malaysians to say, support your own artists. And I know sometimes in this world where there's so much tragedy out there and something that seems much more worthwhile to support, why the arts? And I think that this country needs it more now than ever because we're missing something called the soul. And I think that you can, it's really intangible to say how the arts can mend and heal and put pieces back of the soul that we've lost in the last 3 decades. Mm. And so one of the things is that, you know, when we started Arts on the Move, our funders clearly stated that they would not be funding it into perpetuity.
Right.
That one of the things towards getting a sustainable impact would be to let other people take ownership of this program besides Think City. So Think City really is, what we do is we prototype, we launch, and hopefully other people will adopt this as their own. Mm. And we're here just to be the bridge to show you what can be done and to ignite your imagination. Mm. So for a program to be impactful, that's through 5-year period, and to be successful, really is for someone to then say, we don't need Think City anymore. And then Think City can go to another area and work and try and revive that area.
So as it stands with Arts on the Move, now that you've launched this campaign, and as you mentioned, Tasnim, you're looking for other ways of funding as well. Is it still going to sit under Think City for the near future?
I think that we're going to hold the curatorial responsibility for now until someone comes up and volunteers to say, I would like to take that, so they could then basically, we could mentor them for the period and then guide them before we, you know, cut the umbilical cord, as they say. We're happy if someone wants to take this over and fully fund it as well. And it's just a matter of making sure that Prasarana is also comfortable with them, because we also want to take care of our partnerships.
Right. So roughly how many people have gotten to experience Arts on the Move through this program?
Maybe for a year and a half, about 300,000 people. Mm-hmm. And these are the people that we've managed to sort of like, you know, pull aside and talk to and engage with. So like I mentioned, there's a few million commuters that go through there every year. So out of that, at least 500,000 have seen it, and at least a majority of people stay and watch the performances between 5 to 15 minutes. Yeah. So this is a pretty good group of people seeing these performances every week.
So the performance is in 20-minute loops from 5 to 7 on Thursday. We held our last performance about 2 months ago. And at its height, between 6 o'clock to 6:45, the whole platform is full, and the whole platform can fit about 50 to 80 people. Right. So if you multiply that with the so there's 3 of 20-minute performances, plus how many performances we've had. So that's your number, basically. Yeah.
How do you measure the success of something like this?
Well, it really depends on the measures that we're looking at. So one of the things, like Yaping mentioned, we set out to improve sort of like understanding of the local arts, but also to bring the arts to people who have not been able to see it. So we give out surveys. It's very rudimentary, but it works. So for example, the surveys show 50% of people who are at Arts on the Move have not seen any kind of theater performance or arts performance or that kind of stuff. 80% of people still want to watch it, so that's great. And artists
have had callbacks. Yeah. They've had people calling them and say, oh, I saw you on Arts on the Move. And to initiate conversations, they may not have gotten a job from it, but at least it's opened their platform to be a bit more aware of these artists that are in Malaysia.
So the artists are paid for their work, so it's a hired sort of performance,
is it? Yes, right. Yeah. And Prasarana does a great thing where they show the videos of the performance on the TVs in the trains.
Oh, wow.
So that expands their reach much more. You know, you might not be able to hear the great quality of sound on train, but people have walked up to the artist and say, I saw you on the train, you know. And that's what we want. We want to say the arts is not an elite thing. Everybody should be able to enjoy the arts. And everybody has a right to enjoy some form of art. Right. So that's why the visual arts is so important, because, you know, we are also highlighting people like Chua Ting Ting, you know, our batik master that nobody knows of, right? If you were younger, you won't know that what was the importance of non-wearable batik, right? Of quality visual arts batik. And there's a difference between that and wearable batik. And also to basically say, well, this is our heritage. So Ilham has been very good in helping us program visual arts tunnels like that. We've also been working with, we discovered this group called Chonting Doodle Malaysia.
Yeah.
And there are 900 doodlers kind of coexisting in a Facebook page, right? And they're so talented that we brought them in and said, you know, have your way with this tunnel. And again, it's also to break down walls. We had live chonting, a live doodler.
I mean, that's actually a great point that you bring up, right? Like, because one of the things with bringing these kinds of arts into a space like Masjid Jamik is that it breaks down a lot of the barriers that have been created around who gets to go to a certain space and who a particular kind of art form is for. Because someone who might not walk into an opera performance would have no qualms enjoying it in an LRT station.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for me, just because you don't have money doesn't mean you can't enjoy arts or you shouldn't have access to arts. And I think that that is something that our education system has kind of, you know, neglected. Right. So, you know, it's sad that we're still doing potato printing, you know, after so many years and the arts has progressed, really. And I think that, you know, yesterday I was giving feedback on some of the School of Architectural Designs. And I said to them, you know, what is the wisdom of what you are doing? And they didn't understand that question. So we've become a society of just linear thinking where we don't see the possibilities open around us. We don't look at philosophical consequences of our actions.
Right.
Yeah. And how does this relate to arts? Because the arts makes us think.
So I know you said that it's not just about whether you can afford the arts, but someone has to pay the bills, yeah?
Yes.
And that's precisely why you're having a campaign like this crowdfunding campaign.
Absolutely.
How much money is required to run something like Arts on the Move?
So it's about...
I mean, a minimum of 84,000.
Yes,
a year.
A year.
To basically scrape by, but 150 to get a good programming going. Yeah.
And how much are you looking at, how much are you looking to raise through the crowdfunding campaign?
We're looking to raise 80,000 ringgit. So that would go to paying the performers, that would go to paying the stage managers and the technicians and things like that. And a portion, obviously, for the visual arts tunnel in the tunnel. Yeah.
And you did mention earlier that you are looking at other ways in which to also continue funding this program.
Yeah.
What are some of these initiatives?
So we were talking the other day about a fundraiser concert. So sort of like talking again to our previous artists who we haven't yet approached. So also grant funding. So we've approached a few other organizations that specifically fund the arts and who have expressed an interest in Arts on the Move. And, you know, we're, you know, exploring that collaboration, not just from like a typical grant application perspective, but like how do we add value to their organization? How do we help them achieve their goals and things like that? We're looking at CSR funding, so trying to get people to channel away from painting walls and things like that, which is great, like paint, you know, all your walls, but you know, maybe you can channel some fun starts on
the
move.
So, you know,
as well,
if you go and do a community programming and you have a group of kids or adults painting, we could then incorporate that, what you've done, and put it on the wall. And all you need to do is have a creative director to put, you know, that together with graphic design and to make it into a nice narrative, right, on that tunnel, like tell the nice story in that sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
And am I correct in assuming, based on what you said earlier as well, that the ultimate goal is self-sustainability?
Correct, yes.
Is there some idea of how this might be achieved? How can a program like Arts on the Move become self-sustaining?
What you would like to have is a scenario whereby you have one company take it up as their CSR and then basically or partner with a group of companies coming together and saying, you know, we will fund this. So like a bonus link where nine companies came together to form bonus link, right? So why can't we have nine companies grouping together their CSR effort and saying, we'll fund this, right? And I'm sure that they could negotiate things with their performers to say, could you come and perform for us? Or could you teach us about art? And people are stressed out in offices. Wouldn't it be nice to have an artist come in and you do a half-day retreat with an artist and learn about leadership through art or communication through art?
I would love that.
Yeah,
I hope someone's listening. And also, are you looking at ways of expanding the program? Is there a possibility that we'll see it in places other than Masjid Jamik, or will it continue to pretty much run the same way?
Well, one of the things, we've tried it in Pasasarni, LRT station, but the way it's designed is not conducive to a performative role. It can play a visual arts role because of all the tunnels.
Sure. Yeah.
And actually what we would like is to say, you know, for advertisers, why don't you, instead of selling your products 365 days a year, why don't you give 10% of your budget and for during Christmas, after Christmas, during New Year, when there's a lull, just have pretty artwork.
Yeah.
For the sake of beauty. You know, I think we're so starved of beauty in the city. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to do. I mean, it might seem very frivolous, but never underestimate the power of beauty.
And what will the future of Arts on the Move be?
You know what? I'm not sure. Mm. I would like someone to come up to me and say, I would like to take over this program. I'd like some guidance, and I'll be very happy to do that for them.
So does it mean that if this crowdfunding campaign doesn't quite take off, that we're pretty much going to see the end of Arts on the Move?
Most probably, yes.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, don't quite want to end on that somber note. So let's hope not.
Yes.
But thank you for coming on the show.
Yeah. So if you want, you can go to
simplygiving.org/AOTMKL or bit.ly/AOTMKL.
If you would like to contribute to Think City's crowdfunding campaign for Arts on the Move, that's the website to go to. I've been speaking to Lee Jiaping, Think City's Program Director for Partnership, and Program Executive Tasnim Abdul Hadi. If you missed any part of this interview or any previous Front Row segments, you can download the podcast on our BFM app. You've been listening to Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.